is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Monday here on the program, glad to have you along for the conversation. A terrorist attack at the Mall of America yesterday, if you didn't hear about it. Two men attacked and stabbed in the attack. Police said the motive behind the attack was theft, they claim, but we'll find out if that's true. The suspect in the case, Mohammed Abdiz Abdurrahman. Yeah, you figure it out. Let's go to the hotline real quick before we get into everything else that we're going for this morning. Ed checking in from Ypsilanti. Ed, welcome to it.
Morning, Steve. You said earlier about Judge Roy Moore. The evangelicals, and you're surprised that there's an increase in support.
I didn't say I was surprised. I just said that's what it was. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, basically, you know, like 40 years ago, I did stuff I was ashamed of. I'm ashamed of today. I wasn't ashamed of it then, but I'm ashamed of it today. But if I were to run for office and it was brought up, it'd be held against me, but I'm not that person. Being a born-again Christian, my whole worldview has changed. My whole way of thinking has changed, obviously. And I think that evangelicals may think that same thing about Roy Moore. He hasn't played the born-again card, but I think it's lurking there in the background because they see him as a serious Christian.
Well, he doesn't have to. Well, come on, Ed. He doesn't have to play the born-again card. He's the guy that, you know, brought the Ten Commandments and put them in the high court building
exactly. Without
permission and got thrown
exactly. Out
for it because he refused to leave that, take him out. I mean, come on. So it's
exactly. Pretty
obvious
so
what he's
he
done.
He doesn't have to play that. That's what I'm saying. That's why he hasn't said it. It's assumed, and I'm sure his
right.
evangelical base in Alabama knows that. And so that's why they're supporting him.
So let me ask you
what's going on.
Let me ask you, do you buy the attacks? I mean, it seems pretty unusual. It seems coordinated. In fact, Chuck Todd of NBC News, of all places, said it appeared coordinated, this attack on Roy Moore. I think that's fair. I mean, how do you suddenly come up with four people that are unrelated, unknown to each other, allegedly? The Washington Post happens to find all four of them in short order. And then Mitch McConnell and John McCain, within an hour of the announcement, are on top of it saying that Roy Moore needs to step aside. And then there's Mitt Romney and all the rest of the establishment folks are all there right together.
Well, and then you look at their political persuasion. Some of them actually worked for Democratic functionaries. So, you know, it's obviously a hit job. It's amazing that we're more incensed about Roy Moore, what he might have done 40 years ago, and totally dropped off the radar, is what happened with Hillary, Uranium One, and GPS Fusion. And, hey, by the way, what happened to that undercover informant that was going to be surfacing a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, where is the FBI informant? Where's the FBI informant? He was supposed to come forward and testify by now, and now it's missing. You're right. It's a great point you make, Ed, because the FBI informant was supposed to be coming, and we know that. Let's be honest, this whole GPS dossier was the backbone, the foundation for this entire ruse. We call this Russian investigation. Ed, I greatly appreciate you checking in. But the FBI did open its counterintelligence investigation into the Trump-Russia affair just after receiving the first installment of the anti-Trump dossier from Christopher Steele, the British spy working on behalf of the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC. What congressional investigators want to know is whether this was a coincidence or not. I say not. The first report of the dossier compiled by former MI6 agent Christopher Steele dated June 20th, 2016. Steele told the left-leaning publication Mother Jones that he took the first part of his dossier to the FBI near the start of July. James Comey, when he was the FBI director, told members of the House Intelligence Committee the Trump-Russia investigation began in late July. See a timeline developing? So the timeline is the first dossier report June 20th. Steele approaches the FBI at the beginning of July. FBI begins its investigation a couple of weeks later. Steele's first dossier installment, the June 20th document, cited a senior Russian foreign ministry figure and a former top-level Russian intelligence officer still active inside the Kremlin. Quote, those are quotes, by the way. He reported that Russian authorities had been cultivating and supporting U.S. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump for at least 5 years, and that the Trump operation was both supported and directed by Russian President Vladimir Putin. Also citing a senior Russian financial official and a close associate of Trump who had organized and managed recent trips to Moscow. But the dossier, for the most part, has been largely discredited now. The report also said Trump's perverse conduct in Moscow included hiring of presidential suites at the Ritz-Carlton, where he knew President Mr. Obama had stayed, and whom he hated. And he defiled one of their beds, they said, where they had slept. By employing prostitutes and so forth. And worse. The FBI was very interested in Steele's report. So was John McCain, I might remind you, who was the first to give it to the United States Senate and his colleagues. But the FBI very interested in Steele's report, according to Mother Jones' David Korn, who was personally briefed by Steele himself. Here we go. The former intelligence officer says the response from the FBI was shock and horror. The FBI, after receiving the first memo, did not immediately request additional material, according to the former intelligence officer and his American associates. Yet in August, they say, the FBI asked him for all the information in his possession and for him to explain how the material had been gathered and to identify his sources. The former spy forwarded to the Bureau several memos, some of which referred to members of Trump's inner circle. At that point, he began to share information with the FBI. It's quite clear there was or is a substantial inquiry going on. Now, Korn's report, this is from the Washington Examiner now, Korn's report suggested the FBI was surprised by the dossier report contents, which in turn suggests the FBI wasn't already on the case when Steele approached the Bureau at the start of July. But not long after, on 7 July, Carter Page, whom Trump had named to a little-used Foreign Policy Advisory Board, began a three-day visit to Moscow where he gave a public commencement speech to a university known as the New Economics School. In a dossier reported report dated July 19, Steele wrote that Page had met in Moscow with Igor Sakin, the CEO of Rosneft, the giant Russian oil company, and separately with Igor Divyakin, a senior figure at the Putin government. The dossier information made its way from Steele to the FBI to Capitol Hill. You see how it follows from here to here to here. Then Minority Leader Harry Reid wrote a letter to Jim Comey, noting a series of disturbing reports about whether a Trump advisor who has been highly critical of U.S. and European sanctions in Russia met with high-ranking sanctioned individuals while in Moscow July 2016, well after Trump became the presumptive Republican nominee. You see, you follow the dots. Steele continued to file dossier reports to the Clinton campaign and apparently to the FBI during July, August, September, and October. In other words, the period leading up to the November 8th presidential election, there were reports dated July 30th, August 5th, August 10th, August 22nd, September 14th, October 12th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. The challenge for Steele and for Fusion GPS, the opposition research firm that hired him with the funding from the Clinton campaign, was to get the dossier's charges out in public so they could influence the race for the presidency. The dossier, the discredited dossier paid for by Hillary Clinton and the DNC, was the entire foundation. The entire foundation for this fraudulent Russia investigation. 14 after on the Steve Gruber Show.